The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, bringing in one of the premier guys in college football, Josh Pate, who's having himself a great, and he's almost at the finish line here. Monday night, the championship game. It's going to be Indiana and Miami. And Josh, you've been on this Miami team all season long. You just said it just looks different. It has looked different. But I'm not sure it looks different enough for this Indiana team. This is a pretty good matchup, even though it's a 7.5-point game. Where are you on the game and the line?
I think the line's right, which sounds very hypocritical once I tell you I'm taking Miami. But even I admit that I'm pretty much on an island when I'm taking Miami. And I understand that. That's okay. If you live on an island, you kind of want to be alone. That's the nature of being an introvert. However, I do understand that what I'm banking on basically is understanding Indiana flies at 39,000 feet, and they don't really go up or down very often. They're just 39,000 feet steady as they go. So what I'm hoping is Miami's best is good enough to get up to 40,000 feet for a few quarters. And I'm hoping they play their best. So it's one thing to have the capability. A lot of teams have had capability this year, and Indiana has completely put the pillow over their face and refused to even let them get off the ground, which they're very great at doing. So I really think you'll be able to feel it out pretty early, like, you know, obviously first half being pretty early. And I think one of the things I'll watch for is what is Indiana facing on third down? Because they've been 3rd-and-2 all year. They're number one by probably as big a margin as I've ever seen in college football at third down offensive conversion rate. They're way ahead of whoever number two was. And that's because they're so good at staying on schedule, and it's because they're just technicians on the offensive line, but they're technicians systematically too, and they just stay on schedule. And if Miami possesses the ability, which I think they do, to limit the run and to do it with four, kind of like Indiana does, and they're able to earn the right to rush the passer on third downs, Mendoza may still carve you up, but at least you put yourself in position to test your strength against their strength. So I'm kind of banking on a lot of that. And then on the other side, I need Carson Beck to kind of play the way he played against Ohio State. And that doesn't mean throwing for 300, because that's not the kind of game he needs here. Frankly, if Carson Beck's throwing for that many yards, it's probably a bad sign for how the game went. But I need him to be razor-sharp efficient. I need him to make a couple of plays with his legs, and I need them to take advantage of opportunities when they get them. And, again, I don't need him to do it for a whole season. I need him to do it for a few quarters here. And I'm kind of banking on the fact that they peak at the right time and their best is good enough to get over the finish line.
You know, this is a really interesting matchup because, as you said, you, that's very well put. They fly at 39,000 feet all the time, meaning there's very little variance with Indiana. Their run pass, I looked at the Ohio State game last year and this year, very similar run pass splits. They are who they are. Now, they are who they are, so you're going to get a consistent effort and they're extremely confident right now. Something people aren't really talking about is I love their offensive line was a Joe Moore Award finalist, one of the three. They're very tough. Three of them were portal guys at some point. They're all redshirt juniors or redshirt seniors. However, it's not the most talented group. They're a tough unit. They play well together. But they're going to face exceptional rush talent from Bain and Mesidor off the edges. That's going to be something that they haven't seen that level of rush talent all year long. So talent on talent, if Miami can get them playing behind the sticks a little bit, it's going to be a little uncomfortable for Indiana because they haven't had to play behind the sticks a whole lot this year.
Yeah, and earlier in the year, there were some examples of some teams putting pressure on Fernando Mendoza. I mean, think back to
Penn
the Big
State
title game. Yeah, like Penn State, I think, is the best comparative game period for this one in a couple of ways. I'll get back to that in a second. I'm actually glad you said that. Ohio State, the first play of the game, just rocked Mendoza to the point where you thought he's probably going to leave the game. And, like, I think about the concept of just getting pressure on him, just getting in his face, make him uncomfortable. What you have to avoid here at all costs is letting him get in the kind of zone he got in against Oregon. Because everyone kind of thinks about the Oregon game and they say, oh, the turnovers. And yeah, the turnovers tilted the game early, but with the way Mendoza was throwing the ball and how efficient they were on third down, I could even out the turnover battle, and I still love Indiana to win that game and probably win it by 10-plus. But to go back to the Penn State thing for a second, I think two ways that applies. Firstly, yes, they got pressure on Mendoza, and that's a while back, but I still think there's a lot to be learned from it. But the other part of it, Lance, is that game never got out of hand like most Indiana games do. Most of the time, Indiana gets up on you, and they force you off your game script, and you got to throw the ball a lot more than you're comfortable doing, and you never really find out over a four-quarter approach if you could have broken their will, if you could have turned three into seven in terms of yards gained on runs and stuff like that. And look, maybe they do it here, but Penn State was able to run it for 116, I think, on them. Not a huge day, but they were able to be efficient enough on the ground, and they were able to sustain that kind of game script through four quarters. And I think that's the kind of game that Miami needs. That's the style of game they need. And then if you get it, you got to make sure that Fernando Mendoza doesn't just go into full-on hero mode against you in the fourth quarter.
He's on a heater right now. I mean, he's playing really exceptional football.
I don't think we've seen anybody as accurate since Joe Burrow.
I think that's a good comparison because I think with both of those guys, but especially Mendoza here lately, it's one thing to win the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback, justifiably so. Like, I'm not arguing at all with the vote. It's one thing to win the Heisman. It's another thing to improve after you've won it. He's played his best football after he won the trophy, which is normally the opposite way of the way it's worked in college football. Like, I got to see him in person for the first time against Oregon. I couldn't have been more impressed, man. I'm not the biggest, like, NFL draft guy. I leave that to Lance. But I know from my very, very simple eyeball, that guy, I didn't think low of him to begin with, but he exceeded what I expected him to look like in person. Just overly impressive.
Dude, incredible. Josh Pate with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's say Cignetti finishes this off. They win the game. Is this, I don't even, maybe even if they lose the game, this is the greatest, one of the greatest turnarounds in college football history. I don't remember a program in doldrums like this, like Indiana was before Cignetti got there, that has been able to do anything close to this.
I don't think there's a close second. I think the closest you could come to describing this for my generation is if you properly tell the Florida State story under Bobby Bowden. And these aren't apples to apples, but I remember, like, when I was a kid, Florida State was a superpower under Bobby Bowden. And I remember my dad would always tell me about how this is your normal. Right? You're 5, 10 years old. You think this is normal. When I was younger, or maybe even just 20 years ago, Florida State was nothing. No one even knew what the university was, much less that they had a football team. And he taught me about how Bobby Bowden kind of just put them on the map. Well, I kind of have grown up through my adulthood and thought, that concept is bygone. That can't happen again. And I'm not saying Indiana didn't exist. Like, obviously they've existed. But in terms of being a player at all, being a blip on the radar screen, they've never existed my entire life. And not only do they exist now, and not only did this happen virtually overnight, like in the past 36 months this has happened, they are the touchdown plus favorite in someone else's building to win a national championship. And we're sitting here talking about Miami, a bona fide top five recruiter. They are one of, if not the biggest portal spenders in the country. And we're trying to find glimpses of sunshine. We're trying to find rays of light to shine through the Indiana veneer to, like, make a case for Miami to win. So, yeah, I don't ever do the whole, like, team versus team comparison, like, across eras and stuff, because I always thought that's unfair. But if you're talking about the best story, I don't know that I've ever seen a better one in my life when it comes to college football.
It's truly incredible because – and this is a guy who doubled down and signed a long-term deal, and you wonder if he's going to, you know, coaches. That's not even worth the paper it's written on any longer. But it's funny because what they've done, and this is a separate conversation we can have, Josh. It's really fun to watch different teams use the portal. Daniel Jeremiah used the phrase, you let another team pay the boy, and then you pay the man, meaning the development of Mendoza had already been done at Cal previously. So what you're getting is a more finished product. If you look at the Indiana roster, it's an older roster because they understand, I know what I'm looking for now. Oregon, too. If you look at Oregon, I know what I'm – I just wrote up three Oregon offensive linemen. All three of them, I think, were 24 years old that I wrote up, and they've had 6 years in college football. Like, it's an – and one of them started at Nevada, one of them started at Wyoming. There's an understanding of – build up until we get the grown men, and once we've got the grown men who have gone through the football cycle, Kirk can coach him up. And Cignetti will tell you, I learned to evaluate under Nick Saban at Alabama.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the other thing that I'm noticing is if you're going to take that approach, right, if you're going to let someone else develop the boy and then you get the man, you kind of got to know the conditions. You've got to know which programs out there have sort of the same ethos as you. In other words, whose garden do you trust that when you go and you pluck that vegetable or you pluck that fruit from it and then you bring it home to eat, you trust the way it was grown? And I'll just throw one out randomly. NC State is a team we don't talk about a whole lot. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen NC State in the headlines in portal season for people taking their players, big-time programs fighting over their players. And so what it sits there and makes me wonder is, wow, like, what is it? What kind of value system, what kind of principles and belief systems are they putting in place at NC State? Because a lot of these folks seem to love their players, even if the result on the field isn't panning out. Like, that's the part B of that approach. If we're going to go get the men, do we just randomly look at a talented player no matter where he's coming from, or do we have to trust the environment that he was cultivated in?
Josh Pate with us here. Josh Pate on YouTube, on ESPN. There's a lot of rumors that things are happening, big things. Are we going to see more of Josh Pate in 2026?
Apparently so. That's what the internet said. I had no clue that whole thing was coming the other day. And some people say that sometimes, as both of you know, and they're lying. I'm saying that to you right now in a sense that once that article was sent to me, I asked all of my people. I hit up ESPN and said, did you guys know this was coming? And so, yeah, look, it's been a really good year. You know that anyone who's interested in emphasizing college football has my attention. And they are very, very interested in turning the volume up to 11 on college football right now, which is a good thing for all of us. So I'm happy to talk to them about it.
That's great. That is great. What's going to – Josh, not what do we want to happen – it looks like we could have a 16-team playoff next year, as soon as next year. What is going to happen with the portal and NIL? Anything this offseason?
I think a lot of people will talk and a lot of people will complain. We know that happens every year. Anything above and beyond that, it really takes folks not being scared. And I was having a conversation yesterday about a version of this, and the way it was put to me is, you just have too many people in leadership positions who really aren't cut out to be leaders. It's not that they're bad people. They happen to be the best fundraiser, and they got elevated above and beyond where they should have been elevated. And these are all people scared to make the move. These are all people, you know, scared to throw out the proposal. Now, like a bunch of sheep, they're perfectly willing to get in line behind someone who makes the proposal or who offers a solution, but they are not solution people themselves. And even if they had one, they're not brave enough to throw it out there. So I'm always skeptical that we're going to see major movement, but I will encourage you to check out what Ross Dellinger wrote in the last day or so. He tweeted it out. I think it's on Yahoo. And it's talking about a lot of these meetings that have happened lately and how big a mess the portal is, NIL is, no guardrails, blah, blah, blah. And he said something I've been waiting to hear someone say. He said, for the first time, there's really, really serious traction in the conferences looking at themselves and saying, if we're not going to get help from the NCAA, if it looks like it's a dead end to try and get help from Congress, well, then the only recourse we have left is to police ourselves. And I think we understand, if you read between the lines on that, that probably entails at least exploring the concept of breaking away from the NCAA. Now, that's certainly not something that happens over the span of a few months, but I think that'll end up being one of the big talking points over the spring and summer months.
That's, even if you do that, though, Josh, I wonder. I mean, there's still a court, and there's still agents who are going to go immediately to lawyers because they want no guardrails. This is what happens. When you move too fast, you can't rein it in. So you'd rather, you'd rather have a slow growth, which didn't have the exact opposite happened. And so now anything that prevents the player from getting everything they want when they want is going to be challenged. And up to this point, it's been challenged successfully.
Yep, I agree with you. I don't think there's a clear path. I think you look down every road, and it's all foggy down every road. I will say, I mean, knowing you like I do, I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me. So let me know if I'm wrong, but I'll just speak for both of us here.
Okay.
The term agent should not even be what we're using. There are some reputable people who are representing college football players. That's the minority. The majority are just, I'm not going to question their integrity as people, but as far as representatives, it's just garbage. It's just a bunch of garbage. And you'll notice that when people take issue with any of this, when people push back on it, it is never players themselves. You never hear a quote from them. I don't know that I've listened all year and heard a single player talk about any gripe they have. It's people representing the player. Now, in the NFL, that's okay, because in the NFL you have a collectively bargained ecosystem and there's a pay scale and you've got to be certified. And everything's on the up and up as much as it can be. In college football, I don't even think the Wild West looks at this and recognizes it. I think the Wild West looks and says, guys, you got to get that in order just a little bit. At least get some semblance of order.
Well,
and you're right. Those people, you're talking about a group of folks who are jackals. You're talking about a group of folks who probably understand this is a window that they can use to enrich themselves. It's probably not going to last forever, but they're going to fight tooth and nail to make it last as long as they can. Because this is sort of an exit strategy. You know, this is a retirement strategy for some of these people.
Yeah, and certified agents, you have to be certified to work in the NFL. Certified agents understand this is the long game. They're going to have multiple negotiations. You saw, I can't remember, Doug Hendricks, I can't remember who the agent was who dropped the Washington quarterback last week. Now, he also represented Jed Fish, which is the head coach, but he dropped quarterback because he understands that really makes the agent look bad when a guy agrees to a deal, signs a deal, and then hits the portal after that. Really a bad look. And agents understand, hey, I've got this is my job, this is my business. I can't crap where I sleep. I need to make sure that I'm working with integrity. If you're not a certified agent, and like you said, this is a window for you to enrich yourselves as much as possible, then you're just going gas to the, you're going pedal to the floor, and you really, and everything else be damned.
Yeah, let me put it to you like this. I mean, anyone driving around right now, think about the way things are at the moment. Do you really, in your right mind, think that most of these people are willing to look a college football player in the eye and suggest that they take less money on the front end because they think they're in a situation to better their career in the long run? The reputable ones will do that. Most of them have no interest in that. Most of them even put it in a player's mind that it's an insult that someone's only offering you 70% of what the highest bidder out there is offering. And there's really no care about the recourse because they don't plan on being around to suffer the consequences. The player and the player's family suffer the consequences in the long run.
Yeah. That's Josh Pate. He's here every week, and we hope we do it again next year. Getting bigger and better every year. So congratulations on your success again this year, Josh. Congratulations. But just to be clear, You have Miami plus 7.5, or you got Miami money line?
It was 9 yesterday, John.
Hey, look, give me the points, yes, but I am taking them on the money line. I'm taking them. I'm going down with the ship. I'm Leo right on the stern, and here comes the ocean, and I'm holding my breath, and we'll see if I surface.
Wow.
Del, you hear that?
You hear that, Del?
You heard that, Del? You're not even that confident.
Yes, I am. I heard it a couple days ago, or whenever he did his preview.
That's my boy.
He's a Miami guy, but he also is not a Mario Chris. Like, he's not all in on Miami.
He's not there. Fisher and the rest of those guys, meet Inez Cooper in the A-gap. That's all. Let's see what you got.
I tell you what now. Miami is flying around like a pack of dogs, too. So you better, and you got the most dynamic playmaker on the field is on Miami's side of the ball. No offense to Mendoza, but Malachi Toney, and then Mark Fletcher has been phenomenal in this play in these playoffs. Really, I had to go move his draft grade because I'm like, man, I'm too low on Mark Fletcher.
Yeah. Josh, we appreciate it, man. Have fun on Monday night, and thanks for all you did for us this football season. It's been great.
Hey, it's always fun, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. There's Josh Pate. Right here, ESPN 97.5, all year long. Good stuff. Great to have him on. We appreciate him. Time to talk a little. You know who else I appreciate? Robin from Houston Powder Coaters. She's unbelievable.
And the Cougs, John.
Well, and she's a Coug fan. I'm a Coug. The Cougs. I'm a Coug. That's what she said. And you know what? It has lived here in infamy. Well, it's lived here, and we love it. We love what Robin brings to the table for us. Because she brings your metal looking good again. I don't know what your metal is. It could be anything that you got that's metal, that's older. You want to keep it? Is it a keepsake? Is it been in the family? Is it an heirloom? Is it something that you just want to? You don't want to buy new stuff? And oh, by the way, patio furniture. If you've got older patio furniture, you're better off because that metal is better than the metal that they use in patio furniture now. So you are better off. Otherwise, you could end up spending a lot of money replacing, if you want really good stuff, replacing that patio furniture. Why not have it powder coated and look new again? And you can do it in your team's colors. That's what Robin said. She's a Cougs. She wants red. You want blue and orange. You want red, white, and blue. You want red. Whatever it is. Whatever your team is. Burnt orange, maroon, whatever your team is. Okay? And Houston Powder Coaters can do that. Doesn't matter. They got all the colors. They got everything. Pick up and delivery absolutely free. If you've got anything metal that is getting older and looking shabby, HoustonPowderCoaters.com. That's HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN. 97.5. And weekday mornings from 7 to 10. You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John Chill joining us bottom of the hour. This is a quick segment here so we can get to see what all the lines are. How about that? Texans, you saw up to 9 yesterday?
Not Indiana.
I mean, Indiana, Texans.
Yeah.
Indiana up to 9 yesterday?
Up to 9.
Holy crap. That's a little much.
Don't worry. The money will come in. The smart money will come in Miami right before the game.
I think it will. I think it'll
drop to 7 or 6 now.
I think it will.
Probably 7.
I think Miami gets beat 10 or more personally, but.
Hasn't but they from haven't been a beat value, 10 or more.
That's what I'm saying.
A fact. They haven't been beat 10 or more since 2023.
Really?
They've never. No. Wow. Even what happened last year with that bad defense, they haven't been beat by 10
from
or more.
From a value proposition standpoint, you almost. Like, this is. I think the game's going to go a certain way. I think, like LSU, they're on a – like that 19 LSU team, they're on a trajectory that I don't think you're going to stop.
With this?
No, they're not as talented.
The 2019 LSU team –
yeah, that was special.
Even in the Sugar Bowl, they smacked Georgia around by 27 points. And like, you know, 2 games ago, they're fighting and clawing against Ohio State.
It was a conference championship game.
Yeah, they only won by 3.
In a knockdown, dragout championship game against a team, by the way, Dell, that is going to have like 5 first rounders.
Yeah, and what did Miami do to that same team? They have a common opponent.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and
In Oregon, they just slapped the snot out of them.
An Oregon team dealing
and
with
Oregon's
two
got
OCs
pros on their team too.
An OC and a DC who weren't all in, cause, and they had guys.
Well, they
in
beat
the portal.
Them twice. They beat them in Oregon, and
that's
then they
fine.
Smacked them
I'm just
time.
Telling you.
But I think they're playing their best football right now. I think Mendoza's playing.
They
his
played
best
two
football.
Games, and they've been great. I'm just telling you that as far as physically, this will be the most physical team
yes,
they've had to go
all
up
that's
against.
True. And, but you know what? Here's the thing: Indiana's Indiana. There's not much variance, as we talked about. Carson Beck is the one X factor. If he plays well, Miami's got a shot to win. If he plays
well, they're beating Indiana.
Okay. If he doesn't play well, which is also distinctly possible, because when he doesn't play well, he plays bad.
We're talking about the last time he has not played well in the football game is like as far as when the weather wasn't 40-mile-per-hour gusts, actual gusts as opposed to what John's reporting. He hasn't played well in like 2 months. That's
the
last time he
hasn't
played
well. Well,
the
Louisville game was a high-leverage game.
That was and he's played high leverage games the last 2 months because if they lost, they're out.
It's in his background too at Georgia. Like he does have that in his background.
Understood. I understand that. I wasn't a big Carson Beck fan, but we have gone over half a season at this point, and that has not shown up.
And maybe it won't. But yeah. I think that's to me that's the area of variance much more so than how Indiana plays is how Carson Beck will play. So.
Might have got off the meth.
Maybe, but the variance of Indiana is...
Might have got off the meth.
He's been saying this for a little bit now.
He does look a little bit like a...
See,
tweaker.
now you're
well,
co-signing.
I mean, if we're looking at the kind of the haircut and the eyes...
The eyes.
The eyes do look kind of tweaking.
The variance of Indiana is the fact that you can't... It's very rarely they've been dragged into a game where it's the fourth quarter stuff. Now, they've come through...
Penn State.
Yeah, but that's a long
Ohio
time ago
State.
Now. But in those games, that as Josh said... Penn State and Ohio State are very similar to how Miami likes to play
Miami
football.
What are the Miami games where they were in those games?
I mean, A&M, Ohio State,
A&M,
Ole Miss,
yeah.
all of the whole playoffs they've been playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Deep in the deep water and come out with winners.
Louisville was the loser, and what was the other game? They
SMU.
Lost?
But we're talking about 7 games ago. So the question is, can Miami drag Indiana to one of those games? And if they do, I feel pretty good. Notre Dame the same way. Your question, would Carson Beck come through? He led a game-winning drive.
I don't see this as a higher-scoring game. If Indiana gets their run game stopped, then you're going to – I really do believe these tackles are going to have problems against Miami. So, but Indiana also isn't going to get away from the run game. They're not going to. And then Mario's not going to get away from the run game. These are two teams that are going to try to run the football at each other. They both have good defensive fronts. They both have physical offensive lines. They're actually fairly similar except – one quarterback is a man of God, and the other one is Carson Beck.
Carson Beck has crosses on his cheeks. Mendoza doesn't do
but
that.
Are they upside down?
Black? No, they're not upside down. Okay. He puts the cross of the eye black on his eyes.
What about that one guy, Keith, from Righteous Gemstones?
What about
remember
him?
Keith? Remember he no. used to be... Remember the...
He used to be a devil worshiper? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, he used
satanic.
To be... I don't know if he was satanic somewhat. Yeah, he was just kind of... So
he's Keith from Righteous Gemstones now? He's a meth head and Keith from Righteous Gemstones?
He might be Keith.
Okay.
Keith was bad and he became good, but he was always tempted to throw interceptions.
Okay.
Keith was always tempted by the power of the poor decision making.
Well, he's thrown 2 picks in the last 7 games and one.
Keith didn't always make good
tipped.
Decisions either.
Well, I know we're all waiting for the moment. But it hasn't happened in over 2 months. We'll see. We got to go to John Chill.
Yep. We got John Chill on the other side. But first, we got a little woo.
Hey, green light offer. If you didn't hear, maybe you didn't hear. You've been shining shoes. Because Sean doesn't shine shoes anymore. He's not screaming and threatening people and all that stuff. It's a calmer Sean from Green Light Offer. He's helping people. He always has helped people, to be honest with you. He just gets hyped. He just gets hyped. That's all it is. He believes in what he does. He knows he has a great business model because it is a great business model. People who want to sell their home for cash and they don't want to mess with it getting turnkey ready making all the changes in the house that are going to cost tens and thousands of dollars. It could cost sometimes up to $60,000 to get a house ready to sell. And then you've got to have it sitting on the market. And is the market going to say, you know, is it going to sell? Are you going to keep paying for your mortgage? The showings. This is a big pain in the butt. I got to do all these showings, and I got to get out of my house. Skip all that. Sell your house to Greenlight Offer and Sean will buy it for cash, closing generally in 7 to 10 days. And you don't have to do any of that. You just get your money. It's great for people who are in divorces, for people who are relocating, for people who have received a home through a will, or for people who have rental properties that they just don't want to mess with it anymore and they just want to get their cash. Greenlight Offer is your solution. Greenlightoffer.com. Hit them up right now, and they can give you an estimate of what you can make on your home. It's greenlightoffer.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2. John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow, there is a big story breaking right now with college players and point shaving. And several teams, according to Pete Thamel, schools included in this indictment include Nicholls State, Tulane, who once had the death penalty because of point shaving. And now I got to read up on this. This could be just, you know, some of the highs and lows, you know, the prop bets. Northwestern State, those are all in Louisiana.
Hey, it sounds like it's a Louisiana thing.
I'm not done. St. Louis, LaSalle, Fordham, DePaul, there's your state. Robert Morris, Southern Miss, North Carolina A&T, Kennesaw State, Coppin State, New Orleans, Abilene Christian, Eastern Michigan, and Alabama State.
Wow, sounds like a lot of small schools.
There's a ton of schools. So 20 have been charged in that point shaving scheme involving more than 39 college basketball players on more than 17 Division I teams.
We got the perfect guy to ask. Has he seen some weird happening?
Yeah, John Chill joining us from the Golden Nugget Lake, Charles, in Louisiana, where there's all kinds of point shaving going on, apparently. John, you guys, do you get alerts? Do you give alerts when you see some crazy bets going off?
Yeah, we work with DraftKings and they definitely alert us if we start to see trends that are coming in and it's, you know, going against the norm. You know, we talk a lot about where handle is and all that, but they definitely give us alerts and then, you know, they'll alert the right officials to, you know, if they're seeing things that kind of look funny. You know, the prop bets have been big, you know, the last couple of years and, you know, now we're hearing that news with the small schools. You know, it's definitely gets looked at and we get alerts, when we see things. So, you know, you go back to the old ASU. When was that? Back in the '90s, how they got caught because everybody wore ASU shirts and they're going to driving to Vegas to bet it. So, yeah, it's interesting. We do look at that. We do look at trends. You know, you look at, especially with smaller schools, the amount of money, you know, like if you're starting to see big bets that usually, like take Nicholls State, you know, usually it's $500 and all of a sudden you're seeing 20,000 on it. Okay. Yeah, something's going on. Or they'll take a look at it. So,
Do you want to, before we begin looking at the games this week, do you want to thank the Houston Texans for helping Mike Tomlin go out the door?
Yes, I want to thank the Texans, for finally putting a nail in the coffin with what we've gone through in the last, 7 years and, going to the playoffs and being down by 21 points or more. And, you know, it's kind of funny you say that, Joe, what it really happened. I was like, oh, what are we going to do? It could get worse, you know. And it's kind of funny. I've been listening to Pittsburgh talk radio and everybody's been wanting it, but it's like, okay, you know, did he make chicken salad out of, you know, the saying? And it's an interesting, I'm shocked how quick he did it, and I think he kind of, you know, careful what you wish for. But, yeah, I am, you know, it's time for a change in Pittsburgh. You know, it was time. And I think, you know, Monday was after Rodgers fumbled and he looked like he needed the, you know, I fall in and I can't get up charm. I turned it off and put Law and Order SVU on. I knew it was over. And to kind of go into the segue into the playoffs, the Texans look, I mean, they just men against boys. I mean, you know, as far as their defense, you know, I just love the way they hit. that, you know, old school tackle, you know, you just see them, you just don't get those extra yards with them. And, you know, with our offense, it definitely showed we needed a number two receiver. And
did you guys get inundated with Texans money Monday night?
Yeah, we did. At the end, it started to get, you know, it started to get heavy on Texas. And, you know, as far as the book, we will be rooting against the Texans here in the next 3 weeks. So, you know, everybody here at Golden Nugget was definitely Steeler fans at the book. So, yeah, we are definitely rooting against the Texans as far as a book perspective here in the next couple of weeks. So.
What's the money like right now in the New England game?
Right now, it's interesting. Nationally, it's about 77%. It just jumped to 3.5, probably about a half hour ago. So, DK's carrying at 3.5. Some books are still at 3, just increasing the juice. But,
77% New England.
Yes. And then about 50-50, locally here. So, yeah, but, you know, I think the Collins injury, you know, I was looking at prop bets. I don't even think they posted anything for the receivers for the Texans. I think they're waiting to see what's going on there. I was looking, you know, at some of the prop bets there. So, I definitely see some movement on New England. And, I like Stroud, you know, going back to the game. I mean, he tried everything to give it to the Steelers. And, you know, not to talk about that game too much, but he did everything he could for us to win. And that's why I felt like, oh, Tomlin's just going to win this at the end. It's going to be ugly, and we'll find a way to score a touchdown. But as far as him, I kind of like him this week. You know, 207, I think it's minus 108. I think, you know, he might throw for like 240, you know, 250. I think New England's going to score. You know, the over-under's at 40. The Texans, I think they're 10-2 against the spread in road games when the totals are between 38 and 43. So I think it's going to be a little bit more points. You know, I think there's going to be some turnovers. You know, they'll flip the field, get some easy scores. So I kind of like Stroud to rebound. And go over that 207 yard prop total. And I like the Texans. I have a future ticket. I think I took it in week 12 or 13 at 14-1 to make it to the Super Bowl. So I'm kind of a Texans fan, you know, but as far as my employment, I got to root against the Texans, but I got a Texans future out there. So that'll be a good game. We'll see what happens on Sunday. And, that'll be an interesting, I know you guys have probably been talking about it all week.
Oh, yeah.
But, definitely seeing national money on New England. It seems like it keeps on going as that point spread's moving up to 3.5. So, well, I don't see it going to 4. So if you want to bet the Texans, I'd come on down and get them to 3.5, and, you know, get that hook. You know, that's a big number, that half point.
Absolutely.
For a game like that. Yep.
Absolutely. So, John Chill, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, let's stay with the pros since any trends you're seeing. What about the 49ers, Seahawks, or Bills and Broncos, Rams and Bears? What kind of trends are you seeing on those games?
It was interesting. Bills flipped the minus 1.5 Monday, and then it went right back to them being a dog at 1.5. So that was wild to see that type of flip that quick in one day. But it's back to Bills plus 1.5. 60% on the Bills, 50-50 on the over-under, 45.5 there. You know, another one, you know, Allen's banged up a little bit. Denver's got the number one defense. Interesting, some divisional trends in the last 5 years. Home teams are only 8-12 against the spread. So seems like home field advantage, you know, isn't a big part in the divisional round. So, we're seeing that. Niners, Seahawks, that's been flat. That's basically around 50-50. You know, 7's a lot of points. We've talked about it before. You know, it's kind of like Indiana, you know, getting to the college. I just haven't bought into Seattle. It's just like they're the number one seed, and, you know, but, you know, they're a good team, so we'll see what happens there. Rams, Bears, a lot of money on the Bears, over 60, close to 70%.
Wow.
And they're like 3.5. Yeah, I was shocked to see that one as well.
It's up to 4. I got it here at 4. Yeah.
You got a 4? Yeah. So it's interesting to see that. The weather, I think it's 10 degrees, you know, in Chicago, so it'll be interesting to see where.
So on the news yesterday, they showed L.A. practicing here in L.A. and the Bears practicing out in the 10-degree weather. There was a difference of, I think, a 70-degree difference in the two places that are practicing. That's a big advantage, Bears, no? Huge advantage.
Yeah, I agree. And come from Pittsburgh, it's cold. It's a different cold in Chicago.
Oh, it's
a Chicago. I've been there a couple of times. It's a brutal cold that just hits your bones. So, yeah, I think definitely weather will play a part in this. I'm kind of leaning Chicago on it just because of the weather and the home field. I know the stats don't show it, but Chicago's kind of that Cinderella team, you know, to get, you know, and, yeah, I think the weather will definitely play a factor with this, with the Rams. In this game as well. So, but yeah, that the over under is 48.5. That's a 50-50. So you're getting both sides at 48. So I didn't look at the win. You know, that always plays a part in the over under for me when I take a look at these as well.
Yeah.
So
than rain, John, is wind, right?
Wind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, rain's not great either. Snow is almost, people overreact to snow. Snow doesn't really impact totals like people think.
No, and I think advantage in snow goes to the offense. You know, they'll be able to, you know. But, yeah, I think wind and definitely if it's a hard rain, you know.
Especially in Chicago, that wind is just, that can be brutal.
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 Yeah, I'm in Louisiana. All right, good. So we got the final game. That's you know, 84% on Indiana. And that's what, like I was talking, I was like, I watched that game Friday, and, I mean, you know, he's just throwing balls that are windows of 6 inches. I mean, he's proven himself to me, you know, since the Ohio State game. I think for Miami, the keys to it is, for me, they got to stop the third downs. Indiana converts at 58%, and they have a 74% touchdown percentage in the red zone. So if Miami can make them, you know, kick field goals, get them off the field on third down, I think Miami has a shot. That went up to 8.5. I think that opened up at 7. So, but 84% on Indiana. So everybody's loving Indiana Monday night. So,
That's a great
story. And then the over, 80% on the over at 47. But, I think Miami's just, I think Miami would be able to hang in there with 8.5 points. Like I said, those are my keys. They just got to stop third down and not let them score touchdowns. So.
That's crazy. Eight and a half points against this Miami team with all that talent. Holy crap.
That's how
good they've been playing, though. That is it. All right.
Yeah, it is.
John, chill. As always, Golden Nugget Lake Charles. If you're looking for a great little getaway, you can do it same day, just 2 hours down the road, and go see John, go gamble, come on back that night, or stay a night. And beautiful, just beautiful. You guys should have some beautiful weather this week, play golf, or go out by the pool, John. So this is the place to get to if you're looking for a quick little getaway. It's not a big commitment like Vegas. It's right there down the road on I-10. John, as always, we appreciate it, man, and we will talk to you again next week for the championship games.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There's John Chill every week right here, ESPN 97.5. All right, Lance, time to talk. You were talking Green Light. What about a little Green Street?
Well, that's Tom's Watch Bar at Green Street. That's what we're doing. We're watching the hometown basketball team is what we're doing. And every Friday and Saturday when there is a game, Tom's Watch Bar wants you to come out and be part of the Red Nation rallies at Green Street. So this is going to be really cool. On Fridays and Saturday home games, head on out there maybe a couple hours before tip-off because they're going to have live DJs, they're going to have team swag giveaways, themed cocktails, and then surprise guest appearances all season long. And then if you head to the game, you can come early and park free at Green Street with Tom's validation. How about that? You get the validation. You get to park free. It's hard finding parking downtown. Well, I mean, it's not hard. Just get ready to pay. You're going to get validation to park free at Green Street. That's awesome just by itself. And then you can walk over with the crowd to go watch a game, come back, and post-game over at Tom's Watch Bar. So you're pre-gaming, you're post-gaming, or you're watching a game there with a bunch of fans if you're not going to the game itself. It's Red Nation Rallies at Tom's Watch Bar presented by Green Street. Find the full schedule at tomswatchbar.com/Red Nation Rallies.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Bruno Mars just announced the Romantic Tour, his first global stadium tour in nearly a decade, supporting his upcoming album, The Romantic. Join Bruno Mars on April 22nd at NRG Stadium. Tickets go on sale January 15th at livenation.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Bo Bichette is a free agent. A Toronto steakhouse, Animi Steakhouse, promised him free steak for life if he re-signs with the Blue Jays. PETA, that's right, that PETA, countered with a lifetime supply of Viagra if he doesn't. First of all, why is PETA offering Viagra instead of like cauliflower or spinach?
Well, they know their
audience. Because this is, yeah, because actually.
What are they saying about Bo Bichette that he needs a lifetime supply of Viagra?
Well, just wants in the case, keep, but yeah. They know he's not going to go for the cauliflower.
Yeah.
Why? I mean.
Would you?
I don't know if I'd go, okay, which would you rather have? A lifetime supply of steak or a lifetime supply of Viagra?
Well,
how
steak,
much do you love
but,
beef?
With steak, but they can't offer
steak.
That. So they can't offer that. So it's not about steak. It's about
no, PETA. But they. Why are they offering Viagra?
Because it's better than offering cauliflower.
Well, I guess.
You try to put them on cauliflower.
What do they have to
They're
do
like,
with
what?
Viagra? A steakhouse has to do with steak.
So what? The only way they can counter
they're just trying.
They can't come with a protein, so they're just going to come with...
With sex.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sex sells. We know
well,
that.
Well, yeah. What? But Bo's a young... I mean...
I don't
lifetime
care.
Supply.
It's not a lifetime supply. Yeah, lifetime
young guys
supply.
Take it.
They don't look that far in the future.
Young guys take
young
it because they
take
Bo's,
it.
Try to...
Bo's like, I ain't never going to need that. Give me
go
them
on.
Steaks.
Go on.
By the way...
Say what you want to say, Lance.
No,
but
I
don't know why. Young guys will take it to boost the performance.
Oh, yeah. It's for sport.
Yeah.
For sport. Yeah. I get that. But, I mean, steak is so much more expensive. Are you kidding me? That's that. Hey, a little something better, PETA. By the way, PETA, get out. What are you doing? Okay. Apparently, OnlyFans stars. Are they stars? But I guess we always say porn stars. I guess that's the only way to describe them. OnlyFans workers are moaning about a proposed 50% Florida sin tax. As poll says, I don't want them selling their bodies. Do you think that they should pay a 50% sales tax because, you know, they're doing stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, take their money. Yeah, why not? It's not my money. Take their money. I'm tired of them making so much money.
Yeah, but they...
Off of just...
What?
Simpletons.
The poor OnlyFans accounts in
most
Florida
are
like, wait
most
a minute.
Are poor.
What are we doing?
Most of them aren't poor. And their tax structure there in Florida is very, very easy on them.
Yeah, doesn't every OnlyFans star make like $9 billion a year?
No, they
not
don't.
Everyone,
but it just feels like it. We just hear about all of them.
Lots of money. Lots and lots of money.
Lots of money. They just throw money.
You know, you look and then you see the girl who made the money. You're like, I grew up in a time when like Carmen Electra was on the cover of men's magazines. And how much could she have made if you're making?
Oh
men?
My god! Yeah,
like she was on like FHM and stuff.
And you don't even have to do stuff on there, right?
You just be pretty if you want. Yeah.
You can just be pretty.
But
don't you? Aren't
people
gonna go?
That?
Nah.
Well, you be pretty in. Less and less clothes, but you don't actually have to do stuff.
You don't have to do stuff?
You just be, look, pretty naked girl, and that'll get you paid.
Yeah. All right. Apparently, now, there's a story out, nuclear weapons are now environmental, socially, and government compliant. Do you think everyone should get a nuclear weapon now since they're ESG compliant?
What could possibly go wrong with everyone having nukes?
Why are they, when it's all they do is just, I don't get how they're ESG.
Well, the thing is, you could hand someone a nuke, but now, how many people can deploy it? Like, you know, if I gave you a nuke, John, would you know how to use it?
No, but that's the storyline right now in
Landman?
Pluribus. So,
part of the whole thing is, hey, whatever you ask for, because that was set up very early.
Yeah.
If I asked for this, would you get it? I mean, we probably not want to, but if you did ask for it, we do it. And at the very end,
I'd forgotten about it.
And then they brought it back.
Is Pluribus, is there a new episode out?
No,
it's new, next.
They're waiting for next season. Yeah.
Oh, God, a whole season? That's it? That was the end of the season?
Yeah, it's the end of the season.
You don't know when episodes, the final episode airs? You don't know when seasons are ending?
What the hell's wrong with you?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I just wait till it comes out. That's all.
No.
Where are we on Landman? Is it over?
God, no
idea. Hopefully.
I know. Have you seen the casino episode yet?
No, I can't get through that.
Yeah,
I'm watching
hard.
Breakdown 1975. which is kind of wild how movies just turned into. It's interesting how 1975 was some pivotal year in culture.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good. It's actually a pretty good. Like movies literally exploded with stuff they had never done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you know, like the, you had
music
Vietnam,
too.
You had Vietnam.
Music, like 1975 is allegedly the greatest music year ever.
Okay, post-Vietnam. So post-Vietnam, there was a lot of different energy that was popping up.
Yeah.
Like it was big cultural changes.
Yep. All right, we are done. Mopey and Mapes are next.
Supposedly.
No, aren't they? They're going to do something, aren't they? Aren't they actually going to do a show?
Yep.
Are you doing a show? Are Mopey and Mapes doing a show or not? That's
what
we
need.
Hey, we got Rockets Oklahoma City tonight, bro. Let's go. It is on. We can't beat crappy teams. Let's see if we can beat a really good one.
Great.
On Prime Video tonight.
Yeah,
let's go.
Amazon. That's the only way you can see it, right?
Yeah, Amazon's the only way.
Oh, that's it. It's a Prime game?
Prime game. Yep. Nationally televised.
So they paid all that money.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. Go Rockets. See if they can't beat that Oklahoma City butt. But first, Lance, you, my friend, need to talk about a little schooling.
I assume we're talking San Jack. And that's the schooling I'm talking about. Let me focus on those of you listening right now that have a job but not a career. And you want a career. You're like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm going paycheck to paycheck, and it's not even pulling me through, man. I don't like where I'm working. I'm having to, you know, to cut all the things that I would like to do just to stay under budget. You know, it may be time for you to get a different job. Get a job that can become a career. And the best way to do that is you've got to go to school and get a certificate or get a degree. And they have over 200 different certificates and degrees at San Jack so that you can change your career. You can change your life. Do the things you want to do. Enjoy your career. Having a career, first of all, is great. There's a lot of benefits that come with it. But one of them is just your general happiness. And if you're ready to make that move and be fearless, San Jack is there for you. 6 locations where you can go in person around the city of Houston and surrounding areas. And, of course, they also have remote learning as well. So jump in on it. Change your course of action. Change your life. Be fearless. SanJack.edu.
Warning. Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.